Chapter 17 this morning. Acts chapter 17, I want to read verses 10 through 17. Again, it is Father's Day. I do want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And this message is for you, but it is for everybody. And based on Acts chapter 17, looking at verses 10 through 17, I do hope that all the fathers have a good day and you have a day that you can enjoy. So Acts chapter 17, starting at verse number 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the day that you've given us. Thank you, Father. It's always a privilege and a blessing to be in the Lord's house with God's people. And Father, thank you for just the blessing of us seeing a child being dedicated to the Lord. And Father, we ask that as we all continue to endeavor to walk with you each day and to live our life for you, I pray, Father, that you would continue to be faithful, because, Lord, we know that you cannot deny yourself. You're faithful. You'll always be faithful. But Lord, help us to always believe in your faithfulness and to trust you and to follow you each and every day. And I pray, Father, you'd bless, again, the men today, the fathers, the grandparents, the young husbands that may not have children yet. But, Father, I ask that you would bless every man, bless every woman. I pray, Father, you'd speak to the hearts of the children in junior church as you did in Sunday school. I pray, Father, you would continue to cultivate their hearts and to allow the word of God to take root in their hearts, to bring forth much fruit in their life, obviously the fruit of salvation, a fruitful relationship, an abiding walk with a best friend, which is Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, you'd work in our hearts as the adults and the young people. I pray, Father, that you would guide us according to your will through the scriptures. I pray, Father, you would help us to see how it applies to us. And I pray, Father, you would help us to purpose in our hearts, Lord, to live our lives for you, to allow you to be the center of our life. And, Father, that we would rely on you, that we would place our hope in you. And, Father, we'd always look to you for the answers in life, for direction, and Father, for just comfort. Knowing, Lord, you'll never fail us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, you have the right answers. You see our life from beginning to end, everything in between, and Father, you're the only one that can help us through this life, and I pray, Father, we'd understand that we cannot do anything without Jesus Christ, Father, but we can do all things through him which strengthens us. Lord, help us to rely upon you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Paul and Silas enter into Berea, they had left Thessalonica where they had presented the gospel. People had gotten saved, but they were met with resistance. They were basically ran out of the town, and they had to be persuaded by the brethren at Thessalonica to go ahead and leave because they loved Paul, they loved Silas, they didn't want any harm to come to them. But in verses 10 through 17, they're in the city of Berea, and Paul makes a statement that these men in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they had a readiness of mind. They were willing and able to search the scriptures of the things that Paul had talked to them about. Now again, there were those in Thessalonica that did believe the things that Paul had said. They put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But then there were Jews that did not believe, and they rose up against Paul and Silas, and they wanted to kill Paul, but Paul escaped, and Paul comes to Berea, and he finds these men that are more noble. They're ready. They have an eagerness, and they have a resolve within themselves that they are going to search the Scriptures to find out what is truth, and they're going to follow that truth, and they're going to build their life upon that truth that Paul was preaching. And I want us this morning, again, as it is Father's Day, and I want to talk to the men about being noble men. I want to talk to all of us about being noble Christians. Being noble Christians based off of these verses this morning. Look at verse 10, if you would. The Bible says, "The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Now, everywhere Paul went, he always went into the synagogue first. He went to the Jews first, because the Bible talks about to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And Paul, being a Jew himself, being a Hebrew of Hebrews, he went into the synagogue. I mean, that was Paul's predictable routine. And I want to start off by encouraging all of us, especially the men, be reliable men. Be reliable Christians. Be predictable in your life, that you have a prediction. People can predict where you're going to be on a Sunday. You're going to be in the Lord's house. You're going to be with God's people. And that's what Paul did. He was so predictable. I mean, you just read through the life account of Paul in Scripture. Everywhere he goes into the synagogue. He goes into the place of God to be with God's people, no doubt, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we want to be noble men because we have a predictable routine. We have a predictable routine. There's four characteristics I want to give us of a predictable man. Again, a predictable man is someone that is, you know exactly what they're going to do. You know exactly how they're going to react, because it's the way they always react is what they always do. You have a routine that you follow. And as God's people, as Christian men and women, we want to be known as predictable. We want people to know that we are predictable. We're predictable in our personal walk with God. Be predictable in your personal walk with God, that everybody in your life knows God comes first. Your walk with God comes first. Even if you have to tell somebody, "I can't make it at that time, I'll get there when I can, because I go to church on Sunday," or maybe it's some other day, and, "Well, I read my Bible at a certain time, I'm going to do that first, and then I'll meet up with you." Be predictable, that people know your Christian routine. And though there'll be people to try to trip up that routine and try to schedule things and ask you to do things, when they know what your routine is, be faithful to that routine. But be a noble man or woman who has a predictable routine, because you are predictable in your personal walk with God. It's something that never wavers. Mark chapter 1 verse 35 speaks of Jesus. Again, this should be something that's predictable in our life as well. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out," speaking of Jesus, "and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Jesus was so predictable in when he went to pray. Remember, the night that Jesus was betrayed, before they left that upper room, Judas Iscariot had already left. Jesus said, "What thou doest, go and do quickly." And Judas left. The other disciples thought that maybe he was going to give to the poor or something. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying and sending him away. But they left the upper room before Judas Iscariot got back. And Judas Iscariot leads the mob to where Jesus is, because Judas knew where Jesus spent the night. He spent the night in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas knew where he would be. Let that be our testimony, that our routine is so predictable that people know where we're at. They know where we spend our time when we're walking with God. It's our personal walk with God. Number two, the second characteristic of a predictable man is in our family leadership. In our family leadership. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, I understand not everybody in here is married. Your spouse may not be with you, but listen. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Be predictable in your leadership among your family, whether you're married or not. Be predictable in your leadership, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 6 and 4 says, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Again, be predictable in the fact that you are going to lead your family according to Christ, according to Scripture, no matter what, and people know that. Be predictable in your walk with God. Be predictable in your family leadership that, you know what, you're leading as you follow Christ. Paul, again, Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Again, this is not just for the man. This is for all of God's people. We need to be predictable in our life. Need to be predictable in our relationship with Christ, that people know that God comes first and the things of God come first in our life because we love the Lord so much. He's done so much for us and he's so faithful to us. I mean, think about this. Jesus was pretty much predictable, because everywhere he went, you knew he was going to heal somebody. You knew he was going to change somebody's life. You knew he was going to tell somebody about the kingdom. And Paul obviously based his life upon the testimony of Jesus Christ. That Paul was predictable. Everywhere he went, he was going to tell somebody about Christ. He was going to go into the synagogue. He was going to help somebody before he left that town. Now, the third thing I want you to think about, the third characteristics of a faithful man or a faithful Christian, is in our church faithfulness. In church faithfulness. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, 20, 24 and 25, I know it's not popular, but it's Bible. It's Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, 25, and I say that because I've had people say, church is not important. I can go meet God anywhere else. But listen, where did Jesus spend time? He spent time in the synagogue. Paul spent time in the synagogue. Because it's important. Listen, I believe as the day gets closer to Christ's return, God's people need to spend more time together to be able to encourage one another. Because you're faced with things in this life, you're hearing things through the news media, social media, all kinds of things that can dishearten you, get your focus off the Lord, get you not to be ready and waiting and looking for the hope, the blessed hope. In Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 24, 25, the Bible says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." First thing we're told is consider one another. Consider each other and provoke each other unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Be a predictable Christian that people know that church is important to you. I understand things come up. I understand business trips come up. But listen, church should be important to God's people. You look through Scripture. Where were they found? They were found daily in the temple. God's people were found daily in the temple. It was something that was important to them. It was predictable. It was predictable. The fourth thing I want you to think about as characteristic of a predictable man, or excuse me, a predictable Christian, is in our friendships. In our friendships. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Listen, if you see another brother or sister doing something that's going to be harmful, don't keep silent. Say something. Say something. Don't buy into the deceit or the lie that, oh, you can't judge one another. No, you're looking out for the welfare of somebody else. No doubt if you knew somebody was riding their bike down a path, you had already turned around, you were coming back the other way because the bridge was out, or maybe there was a bear down there or some danger, and you're meeting someone else, you would definitely like tell them, hey, don't go that way because there's danger. There's the bridge is out, or you know, there's a bear or whatever, right? Hopefully you wouldn't keep riding your bike and I hope they turn around. Think about it. A faith for the wounds of a friend. Sometimes, you know what, to tell somebody they're wrong, it hurts. Nobody wants to be told they're wrong. Well, listen, when you love somebody, you tell them that they're wrong according to Scripture. You tell them in love that they're wrong. You know what? Not only telling somebody they're wrong, but look, just being a friend. People need to know that people care. People need to know that people actually love. There are people that are missing out of our church. Go visit them. Call them. Don't just ask, where are they? Call them. Because you know what? People want to know that people care. And sometimes people don't come to church because they want to see if anyone cares. I know it's a game that people play at times, and you know, it's a game like, you know, I would say grow up, don't play the game. But at the same time, people need to know that people care. These are characteristics of predictable men. They're predictable in their friendships. That, you know what? You know that they care. You know they're going to check on you. You know they're going to help you. You know they're going to pray for you. We need to be predictable in our relationships with one another. We need to be predictable in our faithfulness to God's house and to the things of God. We need to be predictable in being a leader in our family. Listen, even if nobody wants to follow, still be a leader. Still show them how to follow Christ. That's being a leader. It's just showing somebody how to follow Jesus Christ. But you know what? Jesus comes first in my life. I'm letting you know that he needs to come first in your life. Even if you choose not to, I want you to see that I'm going to follow Christ and be personal in your walk. Be faithful in your walk with God. This is a predictable routine. All right? You know what? Your coworkers, your family members that don't go to church, they should know that you go to church on Sunday. They should know that, you know what? I know where he or she's going to be at on Sunday. Though I may not agree with them, I know where they're going to be. Because that's something that's very important. Paul says of these men, they were more noble. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They had a readiness of mind. They were willing and able to search the Scriptures. They wanted to know the truth. They wanted to pattern their life after truth. And they wanted to apply the truth to their life. Not only was there a predictable routine for Paul, but Paul had a predictable message. He had a predictable message. Look back at verses 2 and 3 of Acts chapter 17. Paul had a predictable message everywhere he went, and he had a predictable routine. In verses 2 and 3 it says, "And Paul, as his manner was." That means he always did this. Everywhere he went, this was his manner. This was his routine. He went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. You go back in verse 1, it tells you where? The synagogue of the Jews. So, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Paul was predictable in what he would do in every city he went to. He knew he would go into the synagogue of the Jews, and he would preach Christ, and he would try to convince them out of the Scriptures that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He was the one that came, shed his blood for the remission of sin, and that the people needed to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and not a religious system. That was his predictable message. What is our predictable message? What are we known for among our family, friends, and coworkers? Someone that joins in with the jokes at the water bottle, water fountain? Someone who never says a word about Christ? Never tries to encourage anybody in the Lord? We want to have a predictable message. You know what? It's okay if someone even says, "Oh, don't say anything to Troy because he'll want to pray about it." Or don't say anything to Sally because, you know, she'll bring up Jesus. That's okay. That means you have a predictable message. That means they know you so well that they know you're going to say something about Christ. Paul had a predictable routine. He had a predictable message. We need to be predictable.
predictable in our stand and walk with Christ. God says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Listen, as we get closer to the end, God's people who know better need to step up and start walking with God faithfully and put Him first, so the younger generation actually will see older generations believing that Jesus is the way. I see and hear things on social media that grieves my heart with young people that are not seeking Christ for the answers. Social media does not have the answer for God's people. Jesus Christ has the answer. God's Word has the answer. And guess what? Young people are looking for an example. And I'm calling the men to be that example. Young people do not need buddies. They don't need the adults to be their friend and buddy. They need an example to follow. And God's men need to be that example. We need to be the noble men the Bible talks about, and we need to be predictable. Listen, somebody who knows, listen, if they know that you are a Christian, guess who they're going to come to when they have a problem? Now, I've already had people in my work say, oh, yeah, you know, I believe in God, but I don't believe in organized religion. But I've had people come to me when they've had a problem and have asked me to pray for them and pray for relatives. Why? Because they know who to go to. They may still make fun of you and side with the lost people, but they know who to go to. Because you have a predictable testimony, they know they can come to you because you'll tell them the truth and you'll help them. Be predictable. Be someone that people know. You know what? I know he's got a walk with God. I know she has a walk with God. I may not agree with it, but I know if I ask them to pray for me, they will. That's what people need. They need to see someone who is faithful in their relationship with God. Because there are so many people that need help. Paul recognizes the nobleness of these men. He goes on to mention women as well. In verse 12, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, they were not Jews, they were Greeks, they were Gentiles, and of men, not a few. Meaning, there were a lot that believed what Paul was preaching. And the only reason why they heard the message is because Paul was predictable in his routine and his message. He went where people were. He went and he preached that message. The second thing I want you to think about this morning, not only being a reliable man, but being a receptive man, as these were more noble. Look at verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They received it. They received it. Be a child of God that receives the message of God. Whether it hurts or not, whether it steps on your toe or encourages you. Be a noble Christian that receives the word of God, because you know what? You have a readiness of mind. You want to know what God hates. You want to know what God loves. You want to know the will of God for your life. Have a receptive mind. Now, again, there are some that have already chosen they're not going to believe. They will not believe what anyone says. I mean, you see that in Scripture where people had already made up their mind. They're not going to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. But you and I need to keep that receptive mind that, you know what, we are always going to receive the truth of God's Word. We're going to be ready to search the Scriptures. And that's what they did daily. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So these men that were receptive, they had minds that were ready to receive, and they received it gladly. You know how I know they received the word of God gladly? Because they searched the Scriptures daily and their life was changed.
Someone who does not receive the word of gladly are not going to be changed by the word of God, because they're not going to search the scriptures daily. Those that did not believe, if you were to even go back up in verse number 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Those that did not readily receive the word of God gladly, they rejected it. And then they're seeking to turn the tables, to do harm to those that have believed, to do harm to those that are bringing the good news. But those that gladly receive it, receive the word of God, will search it daily and allow it to change them. I just want to remind us what the word receive means. It means to take with the hand. Take with the hand. Take your Bible with your hands. Take with the hand, to take hold of, to take up, to receive favorably, give ear to embrace. These men were more noble because they received the word of God. They embraced the word of God. They took the word of God. They favored the word of God because they knew it was the truth of God. And the word to embrace means to seize eagerly. You know what? We need to seize God's word more eagerly today. The young people need to understand this is your lifeline. This is the original Facebook. This is God's Facebook right here. You get your face in this book, it'll change you. It will help you. It will encourage you. It will be a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. It will help cleanse the young man. Where shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. This is God's Facebook. The devil has his Facebook, which is full of junk and full of lies, deceiving people. I know there can be, you can use Facebook, all right? We use the internet to propagate the gospel, to get our devotions out there. But the devil uses the internet too to get into the minds of not only young people, but all ages, to destroy them from the inside out. If he can get into the mind, that's why you need to wash your mind with the word of God. Get in God's Facebook. Be eager. Embrace it. This is what God's given us. Yes, this is the only thing that can change you. It's the only thing that can wash you. And listen, I want to encourage the men of this church, be noble men that, you know what, this, people can actually look at you and you know what, they're predictable. You're predictable that you're going to say something about Christ. Ladies, you're going to say something about the Lord. You're just predictable that, you know what, even if someone just walks away, you know, I'm not even going to ask them because I know what they're going to say. Be thankful that you have that testimony, that they know exactly what you're going to say. Let's not have the testimony that they come to us with their jokes, with their dirty jokes, and want to tell us about their party weekend and stuff because we're known as the ones that will listen. Oh yeah, he says he's a Christian, but he never says anything about the Lord. Nothing's different about him. He laughs at the dirty jokes and all this. We've got to be different. We've got to be noble Christians. Because you know what? If you search the scripture daily, you're going to be changed by it. I'm going to be changed by it. Our mind is going to be cleansed. We're going to have the mind of Christ. Our heart's going to be filled with the word of God. It's going to transform us from the inside out. And God needs more light in this world. He calls us to be light. Let your light so shine before men. Our light cannot shine if our light is dull by Facebook, social media, everything else, and we're not exposing ourselves to the light of God's word. Be reliable. Be predictable. Have a predictable message. Be receptive to the word of God. Receive it. Embrace it. I mean, our heart's desire should be centered around the word of God. You know what? I can't wait to read it. I need to read it. I want to read it. But you know what? If we're filled with everything else in this world, it's the last thing we want to read. We can read it, and after one verse, we're like, eh. And we're on our phones. We're on the internet looking up stuff that seems more exciting and more thrilling. And I'd rather read this than read the Bible. The Bible, you know, it's old. It's archaic. You know, it's not applicable for today. You know, whatever the lies are, and there are lies. Because again, your adversary and my adversary knows that if we don't stay in this book, we're useless. We're not effective. We're not going to help anybody. We're not going to show anybody the right way. And we're not going to be an example to follow. Remember Jesus again. Jesus said to his disciples, follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Listen, lives are being destroyed. Families are being destroyed because nobody wants to be faithful to the Word of God. And look, it's a battle. I'm not saying it's not a battle. It's not a piece of cake. Because we do live in a sin-cursed world. We are surrounded by an anti-Christ, anti-Bible society. There are people, there are, again, we're in a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of darkness, the rulers of darkness. I mean, just the wickedness of this world. But that's why Jesus tells us, follow me. And we have to do like the disciples and make that conscience decision, I'm going to follow Christ. Not just know that, yeah, I'm following Christ in my mind, but in my life I'm doing other things. That's not going to help. I know the Bible's true, but if I don't read it, it's not going to help me. I know that following Christ is right, but if I don't follow him, it's not going to help me. And I'm trying not to come across mean or anything, but and I'm not trying to be mean to anybody here. I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at lives that are being wrecked and people willingly being led to the slaughter because they're not focused, they're not thinking. The Bible still says that we have an adversary. Take your Bible, go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And listen, he is subtle, he's sly, he's a snake. You give him just a crack and he's going to slither in. You ask God to shut the door, he'll shut the door and snap that snake in half. Because God opens doors that no man can open and shuts doors that no man can shut. If you need help in your life, if you're struggling mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you cry out to God and you ask for help, he will help you. I'm telling you, there's no help on social media. You're not going to get help from people who are lost, dying in their sins. They're just going to promote wickedness. And listen, I'm just going to say this. Christians should not be yoked up with things on the internet. You don't need to take every test that someone puts out there. One of the last things someone told me about was this, I'll call it a test. Find out what your porn name would be. And there are Christians finding out what their porn name would be. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Why in the world would a child of God want to find out what their porn name would be? But there are Christians doing that because they think it's funny. And the devil's laughing at them. God's not laughing. God says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God calls us to a higher standard. He wants us to stand out. He wants us to be noble Christians who have a predictable biblical routine, a predictable biblical message. It doesn't mean you have to go and, you know, and just hammer people, you know, oh, the Bible says this, you're doing that wrong. No, just be predictable. They know that you're going to tell the truth, that you're going to speak the truth in love. And then, you know what? You might mention the name of Jesus because it's the name above all names. There's not a name given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ. It's who we are to be building our life upon. The foundation that's been laid. Jesus Christ. The devil is having a heyday with so many Christians and they're oblivious to it. They think it's just fun and games. They don't realize, again, the Bible's true, a spiritual battle. And Jesus Christ says, come unto me. Jesus says, I will help you. I will give you victory. In 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 7. Again, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What is it you're struggling with?
What are your struggles? What are your burdens? Jesus says, cast them upon me. He goes on to say in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to devour. Oh, I'm a child of God. He can't devour me. Oh, yes, he can. You give him place in your life, he will devour you. He can't take your salvation, but he can cause your life to be inoperable. He can cause you to lose your testimony. He can cause you to take your life. The devil wants to devour you. He doesn't care you're a child of God. He plays mind games. That's why God says, casting all your care upon me. What is it in your life that you're struggling with, that you're fighting with, that seems to be crushing you? God says, throw it at me. Give it to me. Because if you don't, your adversary is going to crush you and destroy your life. And God says, I've come to give life, to give it more abundantly. Listen, you can have an abundance of life regardless of your family turmoil, regardless of work situations. We still have a God who sits high and lifted up on his throne that has given us the grace and the ability to come boldly into the throne room of grace, to come before his throne and to ask for help in time of need. But we have to ask. We have to seek him. Not only were these men in Berea, not only did they receive God's word gladly, but they grasped it willingly. Don't turn your ear away from what God says in his word. Don't allow yourself to think, the Bible doesn't understand me. Jesus doesn't understand. In Sunday school, as we started a new curriculum entitled Portraits of Grace, it's a curriculum given out by Lancaster Baptist Church, Lancaster, California. Put that out there. It's not anything I wrote, but it's a wonderful curriculum. The first person we looked at, the portrait of grace, God's grace in a man's life, was a man by the name of Enoch. And Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God because he didn't walk with God. He had to walk with God for 300 years. And again, sometimes we look at people in Scripture and we even think, well, they must have been a super Christian, or they don't understand. They didn't have it as hard as we have it today. Enoch had to walk with God right before God destroyed all living creatures. Because God said of all living creatures, God said of the people on the earth at that time, the imagination of their heart was wicked continually. Enoch walked with God during a time when wickedness and sin ran rampantly. Kind of sounds like our day. Sin just continues to abound, but praise the Lord, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's grace always abounds much more than sin. But the fact is, I want us to understand, God understands, Jesus understands. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, he gives us the victory. They grasped the word of God willingly. What was it that Jesus hit the devil with three times that we see in Scripture when Jesus was in the wilderness, tempted of the devil 40 days? The word of God, three times. And guess what caused the devil to flee from him for a season, for some time? The word of God. So we need to grasp the word of God willingly, knowing that this is my lifeline. This is what I need. I want to be a noble man, a noble woman, because the word of God is my life. It's what I pour into my heart. It's what comes out of my mouth. It's what permeates throughout my life is the word of God. And it's my testimony that I walk with God. Not only did they grasp the word of God willingly, and they did it because they had a ready mind. And I got to kind of hurry up here. Look at verse 11. Acts 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were ready. They had a mind that, you know what? I will listen. I will meditate on what God's word says. I will let it wash my mind. I will come to it with just, I'll say, an open mind. Some people come to the word of God with a closed mind, already determined what they're going to believe and what they're not going to believe, and certain verses that, you know, they're going to skip over because, well, that kind of points out where I'm wrong. I'll skip over that. I'll read some verses that kind of make me feel good. They had a ready mind. They were willing. But guess what? Again, I'm going to say it. If our mind is full of social media, full of the news media, full of everything else that this world offers, our mind is not going to be ready to receive the Word of God. We're not going to be ready to meditate on the Word of God, to think about what it's saying. We're not going to be ready to apply it to our life. To have a ready mind means to be eager to explore the Word of God. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. That's being eager to explore God's Word. Somebody once said, I'll say this, I got to hurry. Charles Spurgeon once said, I venture to say that the bulk of Christians spend more time in reading the newspaper, and I'll say social media, than they do reading the Word of God. Talking about the Christians. Somebody else said the neglect of the Scriptures is not want of time or lack of time, but heart. It's a lack of heart for the Word of God. Some idol taking the place of Christ. Not only did they have an eagerness to explore the Scriptures because they searched it daily, they had an eagerness to examine the Scriptures. They searched the Scriptures daily, and we need to search it. Again, unfortunately, we live in a time where we have to schedule our Bible reading. We have to schedule prayer time because we're so busy. But we need to schedule time to where we actually spend quality time in the Word of God. It's not necessarily, oh, I read my 10 verses or my 10 chapters for the day. Look, if all you can read is two verses to sit there and think about, then read two verses. If that's all you can handle in order to really think about what the verses, then just read quality, not quantity. We want the Word of God to change. God has so much to say in just one verse. You imagine how much you can get out of one verse, just thinking about that verse and what it's saying, how the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind other verses. So they were eager in not only exploring the Word of God, but examining the Word of God and then applying the Word of God to their life. They applied Scripture to their life, and if we will do that, it will change us. It's not enough to know. Listen, I know that gasoline goes in my vehicle to make it run. If there's no gasoline in the tank, it's not going to run. It's not going to get me from point A to point B. So I have to put gasoline in if I want the engine to start up, if I want to get from point A to point B. As a child of God, if you want to get to point A to point B spiritually, you got to put the gasoline in the tank. You got to get in the Word of God. You got to apply it to your life. You got to think about what it's saying. Because honestly, you know what? We are tempted at times to kind of read fast verses that we know. Verses we know what it's saying. John 3:16. A lot of people kind of skip over there to kind of read it real fast. John 3:16. Yep, I know what that is. But you know what? There's days where you need to stop. You need to meditate. What does John 3:16 say? What is it saying to me? For God so loved the world. Man, God loved me so much that he sent his only begotten son. Man, he sent Jesus Christ for me. I know he sent it for the world, but sometimes I have to stop and think, what does this mean for me? Man, God loved me so much before I was born, before my parents were born, before my grandparents were born, before my great-great-grandpa. I mean, you go all the way down. I mean, before I was even just a thought in someone's mind, I mean, he thought enough of me to die for me. Man, that'll change your life. That'll help you get your perspective back where it should be that, you know what? My life really does mean something because Jesus died for me. No one's ever done that for me. No one's ever died for my sins to give me that gift of eternal life. Now I'm surrounded by people, but there's only one that resides within me that can help me from the inside out, and that's Jesus Christ. Listen, these men were more noble because they allowed the Word of God to change their life. And they were distinct. Remember, God's people, you look through Scripture, Peter and them, they stood out. They were known as fishermen, but yet the Pharisees said of them, they've been with Christ. There was something different about them. It was noticeable. It was noticeable. And we want to be noticed. Really, it's not how you dress that makes you a Christian. It's the spirit within you. But you know what? The spirit within you, if you walk with God, if you truly apply God's word to your life, the outside will change. But our walk with God needs to be more reliable. It needs to be more recognizable by those outside. I'm not even going to read the last point, but the last point is, you know, resilient. Be someone who's resilient. If you were to read on in this chapter, Acts chapter 17, but Paul went on and he was met with opposition. Paul was met with opposition everywhere because of what he preached and who he was. He was a Christian who had a message that spoke of Jesus Christ. He wanted other people to know his Savior. He was always met with opposition. And guess what? He was resilient. He rebounded from that. He rebounded from being dragged out of Lystra, stoned, and left for dead. When he regained consciousness, or he got up and went right back in the city and left the next day. He wasn't going to allow the devil to run him out of town. He wasn't going to allow some that didn't like his message or like his Savior run him out of town. He rebounded from that. He went back into the city, left the next day. After obviously, you know, spending time with those that did receive Jesus Christ and the message. So listen, be resilient. Don't allow society to cause you not to be faithful to the things of God or to God, to your walk with God. Allow yourself to let Christ have your life fully, and you will never regret it. I know too many Christians have not fully given their life to the Lord. They're just kind of snacking on the things of God. They're missing out on the blessings of God. They're missing out on so much more. We need to purpose in our hearts, and I say we need to purpose in our hearts to be noble Christians, to be the ones that have a reliable, I mean, we're reliable, we're predictable, and we're resilient. I mean, we have such a walk with God that everybody knows it, and that Christ is number one in our life. And it shows by our decisions, it shows by how we live our life. Because somebody's watching. I don't want to be the one that causes somebody not to want to come to Christ because of the way I'm living or not living. I don't want to be the one that causes someone to think Jesus isn't the answer. Because listen, just a couple more minutes. When I was a young boy going to church, I saw the hypocrites. You're going to see them everywhere. Every church has hypocrites, but so does every Walmart, so does every Kroger, because not everyone is faithful. Everyone goes, they'll go to Walmart, but you know what? They'll go to Costco too. They'll go to different stores. That is a trick and lie of the devil to always get people to look at hypocrites, those that are not fully engaged in the things of God and who are not living their life for the Lord. You and I and everybody has to individually make their own decision. Will I or will I not be a noble Christian? Will I or will I not believe the promises in God's word? Will I or will I not
seek God for wisdom.
God says, seek me for wisdom.
God's the one that gives wisdom. And he gives it to anybody that will ask.
Jesus is the one that gives rest and peace to anybody that will come unto him. He's calling. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He'll give you rest that gives rest to the soul, gives that inner peace that passes all understanding. But again, we have to choose what we're going to do. Jesus is standing in your life, waiting for you and me to make that decision on a daily basis. Go ahead and stand if you would. We'll close a word of prayer. But Father, we do thank you for the grace that you show towards us each and every day. Thank you, Father, that obviously, Lord, you're not walking around, as some people believe, with a 2x4 ready to smack us on the head when we step out of line. But Father, Lord, you instruct us, you correct us with your love and your grace and your mercy. And we're so thankful for that. But Father, we're living in a day and age really where the message needs to be a little stronger, a little more to the point, because so many people have been deceived by the adversary, by the devil, who is wanting to drag as many as he can into the pits of hell with him. He's wanting to destroy as many testimonies of God's people as he can, because our testimony affects so many people in our life. And we are surrounded by people that are looking at us. And Father, it's only by your grace that we can even keep a right testimony. It's only by your grace that we can be noble Christians who will truly rely upon the Word of God, and we're truly give ourselves to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to change us, to help us. Lord, I believe that many of God's people are caught. They're caught in the devil's snare. But Lord, I know that the devil has no power over Jesus Christ, who has all power. And Father, if we will simply cry out to Christ to help us, Lord, I know that as Peter cried out as he was sinking, Jesus was right there to lift him up and to walk with him back to the boat. Father, I know that you're always there to lift us up and to walk with us, and I thank you for it. Father, my prayer is that you would speak to our hearts this morning, that you would rebuke the devil, rebuke his voice, rebuke his lies, and help all of your people just to hear your voice as you speak to their hearts. As the piano begins to play, I want to give you a few moments alone in prayer, and I want to ask that you truly seek God and truly let God have his way with you. And to truly let God show you, as he shows me, where it is in our walk of faith, where it is in our journey of life, where it is in our relationship with him that we have faltered. And he is trying to show us where we need to get back in fellowship with him, get back on the straight and narrow path, and to really give our life and our heart to the Word of God, to the things of God. Maybe you're struggling with something this morning, something in your life. Jesus is the answer. He says, if you'll call unto him, he'll answer you. He'll show you great and mighty things.